Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody up on this little bit chillier morning, and we're glad you're here. Just a reminder, if some of you forgot, or some of you that don't know, we do this for sunrise service. Those of you that will not be coming back for the 10 a.m. service, we put the offering plates in the back two tables, and you can just stick your offering in there if you'd like to as you leave today. And then it'll be joined with the 10 a.m. offering. So just wanted to let you know that. Let me catch my breath here for a second. I forgot my glasses and I had to run down and get them. So I just wanted to let you know about that. And let's stand together and let's join together for our call to worship. We gather together at the dawn of a new day. We find Christ alive in the garden and in our hope-filled spaces. Let us give thanks for God's faithfulness. Well, let's join together there and sing our first hymn this morning, 259, if you want to use the hymn book. Christ the Lord is risen today. Together there for our opening prayer and the Lord's Prayer this morning. Holy and eternal God, perfect in love and endless in grace, on this first day you began your new creation, raising Jesus Christ from the powers of death. On this first day we gather to join with all creation to worship and honor you as the Creator, Christ and Comforter, now and always. We pray in the name of the one who conquered death, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. And you're going to have to turn to your hymn books this morning as we sing our second hymn. I must have not got it saved. 270 this morning. Some of you know this one. In the garden. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. One of my favorites, and it was both my parents' favorite too, and I've shared that before, but I love that refrain, And He walks with me and talks with me all through life, whatever we're facing. Well, we're going to look at two passages this morning. Both of them are lectionary passages. First of all, we're going to look at John's version of the resurrection story there. I'm going to be reading verse 1 and then 11 through 16, which focuses on Mary Magdalene's encounter with the risen one. And then we're going to be looking at one of Paul's letters to the Colossians there in chapter 3. So let's begin with John 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the tomb. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And then Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, and then chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. When you were buried with him, Christ, in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what the Spirit wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. There's a little thing here that I found. It's called life after death. "Do you believe in life after death?" the boss asked one of his employees. "Yes, sir." The new employee replied, "Well then, that makes everything just fine," the boss went on. "After you left early yesterday to go to your grandmother's funeral, she stopped in to see you." Now, a few of you got it, didn't you? Yeah, he was wanting to skip work, wasn't he? This morning, I want to talk to you about resurrection people. Resurrection people. Okay, got a question for you. Have you ever got lost or disoriented before? My family will tease me, and Jody will, because when I get into certain places, like inside of a building, I get lost direction-wise. I don't know where the north, the south, the east, or west is. And if I get in a woods and I can't see the sun and where it's at, I get directionally lost. Yeah, and you can say I'm directionally challenged if you want to say that. And I asked that question this morning because just about every day we face any number of distractions or misdirections in life. Things that come along that get us sidetracked. How many of you have seen that movie Up? with the old man and the boy and the dog, the little, I can't remember what he was. He's like a Boy Scout, but I think they had a different name for him. And do you remember the dog that finally comes along and is a part of the thing? And the first time we watched that, Jody just giggled and giggled and giggled because she says it's like kids at school when the dog all of a sudden went, squirrel. Because he got easily distracted by something that was happening. And sometimes that happens in our lives. And Paul's writing to the church in Corinth and wanting them to know that there's some things that they need to know because they've been raised with Christ because of being baptized into Him. And we all know some of this, but you know, when we think about misdirections and distractions, some people are really good at looking forward. They, no matter what happens, no matter disappointments, things that happen that just set them back, they keep looking forward. They're just kind of forward-thinking people in life. And they're focused on their goals, their plans, and what lies ahead. Other people are backwards-looking people. Backwards-looking people. They're always analyzing their past decisions and choices. Oh, I shouldn't. Jody always says, and she kind of responds when I say something like that once in a while, she say, should've, could've, would've, and I'll know right away, yeah, got to forget the past and keep looking forward. Some people look down. They look down on others in hopes of feeling better about themselves when they face frustrations and disappointments and things don't go well, or they feel ashamed because maybe they're not up here where someone else is, their neighbors or whoever. Still others may look around and their whole focus is on, gee, what's so-and-so doing? They're pretty popular, or they're doing well. What are they doing? Well, our readings for this sunrise service reminds us to look up. To look up this morning. And we're going to look at this real quickly because I already mentioned the one. But by saying that, we're reminding ourselves that we are raised with Christ. We are raised with Christ. And because of that, Colossians tells us that we have access to a whole new reality. In fact, the way you're going to see that is if you read the whole letter. It's like four chapters. Won't take you very long at all to read the whole letters. Maybe I'll challenge you to do that. But we have access to this whole new reality, what we call resurrection life or eternity life that John talks about in his gospel, And Colossians 2:12, which I read, reminds us that when we were baptized, we not only died spiritually and were buried with Christ, but we were also raised with him to new life. Because we believe in the God who raised Jesus from the dead. Paul talks about that in Romans. If you believe, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And by sharing in his resurrection, Paul is trying to tell the church here at Colossae, something different has happened. There's a shift in perspective. There's a shift in priorities that takes place in our lives because all of a sudden heavenly things begin to matter more than just earthly ones. Now, don't take me wrong. We're not going to become some hermits and live out in a commune and just pray 24 hours a day. We have lives to live. We have callings and giftings in life. One, through our jobs and other things and churches we're involved with. We have families to raise. We have grandkids to take care of, whatever it may be. But in all of that, Paul's trying to let them know, don't forget about the new that you have. Sometimes I think we forget what we already have. And we go searching for it through all kinds of things in life. But Paul's reminding us, we already have those things in Christ Jesus. In fact, he says, basically, we are graced with the benefits of this new life. Such benefits offer us a better direction or orientation because, and here's the reason why, because Paul says, Christ reigns at God's right hand in heaven. Now think about that. If God is God, and everything's kind of going on, God's oversees everything that goes on in our lives and oversees everything. I know we get discouraged or we're wondering about this or that in life. We're wondering why this happens and why that. Why doesn't God fix this? Why doesn't God fix that? And we get caught up into that and it becomes an obsession with us sometimes. And Paul's trying to say, hey, the one that's leading you and guiding you and directing you and orienting your life is Christ. And Christ sits at the right hand of God, reigning from on high. We may still look forward. We may still look backwards. We still may look down. We may look around. Or in the midst of all of that, we can remind ourselves to look up and live as resurrection people. Why? Because we are raised with Christ. Second thing is we are oriented to Christ. We are oriented. Now, Paul uses two verbs in these verses to talk about this. And I want to just look at them real quickly here. First of all, seeking or to seek. Seeking, and he talks about seeking those things that are above. Seeking is an ongoing direction of our wills towards Christ. Seeking is not about hunting God. God's not lost. But it's more about shaping our aims and ambitions to the new life that we have. Yes, you may be a teacher. Yes, you may be a truck driver. Yes, you may be a doctor. Yes, you may be a farmer. Yes, you may be retired. But in all of those things that we do, we still have aims and ambitions based on the new life that we have in Christ. Because resurrection with Christ means seeing reality from a heavenly perspective. Let me ask you a question. Is the news channel you watch every day on TV for 8 hours giving you a heavenly perspective? Probably not. It's probably giving you a very earthly perspective. Yes, a divisive perspective or whatever, you know. Or we could go on with any of that stuff. We could talk about something else. But each day we live with the perspective of heaven and its benefits. And so seeking is that ongoing aspect, the direction of our wills towards Christ. The other one is thinking. Thinking is used there in that. I mean, how often do we, you know, I remember somebody said this long ago, I heard it so many times in chapel when I was in college, just because we came to Christ doesn't mean we leave our brains at the altar. We still have to think. And God has given us that ability. So thinking here is about refocusing our thoughts on Christ above. Much of how we respond in life, why is that? Why is that? First of all, let me ask that. Why is that? Because much of how we respond in life, to life, whatever you want to say, is based on what's going on right here in our heads at the time. Have you ever noticed that? I see it all the time in my life. If something is bothering me or I'm stressed about something and the traffic's backed up on the road where I'm trying to get to where I am and I'm in a hurry, because I was already frustrated, because I was already upset about something or whatever, guess what was coming out of my mouth as I was driving in this traffic? Come on, what's going on up there? Is there an accident? I mean, you know how we are when we're driving. We all face those times. That's because what was already going on in my head was affecting things that were coming into my life in those moments. Our thinking, our deciding, our perceiving, our acting, our actions that come out of that. But think about this. What better perspective for handling life than the perspective of Christ who is seated at God's right hand? And not only that, but Paul says that we are hidden with Christ. We got our own little hideout, so to speak. Did you ever have a favorite hiding place when you were a kid? Come on. Everybody's looking at me with a blank look. Okay. So when I was a kid, and my nieces and nephews were like 10 years younger than me, and they wanted to play hide and go seek, and I was a little older, I said, okay. See, I knew where all the good hiding places were in our house, which was grandma and grandpa to them. And so there was a little door underneath the kitchen sink, and you could open up, and guess what was there? A clothes chute that went right down over top of the washer and dryer. And I could still fit in that clothes chute. And they would look and look and look and look for me for hours. Well, not really hours, because I didn't want to be in there for hours. Yeah. Yeah. Now think about it. We are hidden in Him. When we focus our thoughts and orient our lives on Christ, His reign, His gifts, Paul tells us elsewhere that He gave gifts to us, and His life, that's when we begin to live as Easter people, as resurrection people. There was a farmer who found an eagle egg. The mother had died and left the egg. So he placed it under one of his hens out in the hen house, and it hatched there later on. At first, the eagle scratched like a chicken and ate like a chicken, just plucking at the ground. But the bigger he got, the more he became aware he was not a chicken. He would stare out of the cage and look into the sky, and sometimes he would flap his wings, but the cage kind of held him down. One day, another eagle flew over and gave out a big screech. Whatever they sound like. The farmer saw the look in his eye and opened the cage door, and off he flew. Why? He wasn't made to scratch in the dirt, but God made him to soar in the heavens. If you're feeling down today, defeated or discouraged, let me remind you to look up. Christ has been raised from the dead, and we have been raised spiritually with Him. So let us set our minds on things above and walk in the benefits that Christ has provided for us, resurrection people. Amen and amen. Well, we are going to do something. We've been doing this. I've done it on and off in the past, but we've been doing it for, I think, 3 years straight. As we always take a few moments and reaffirm our baptism. That's that moment when, for, I'd say, most of us, that's when we put our faith in Christ, because we've stepped out and we make that confession. And so I usually have us go through those questions that were asked when we were baptized. So I'm going to invite you, if you would stand with me real quickly and join with me. And you are going to be saying the black underlined part of the questions there. Do you believe in God?
We believe in God.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
We believe in the Holy Spirit.
Do you desire to reaffirm your baptism into the faith and family of Jesus Christ?
We do.
Do you renounce the powers of evil and desire the freedom of new life in Christ?
We do.
Do you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?
We do.
Jesus is Lord. Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciple, to follow in the ways of our Savior, to love God and your neighbor, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able. If so, say, we promise with the help of God. All right. Well, shake a couple hands just real quickly, those right by you, and then we're going to go right into our little chorus. And then we'll head downstairs for breakfast this morning. We're going to be singing that little chorus, He is Lord, twice this morning. If you want to use your hymn book this morning, we're going to sing it through twice. He is Lord, He is Lord, He has risen from the dead, and He is join together for our benediction. The tomb is open. Go forth in the joy of the risen Savior. May the light of Christ, rising in glory, be the light of our hearts, and the Spirit of resurrection grant us grace and peace.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you.